20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy game day, the last game of the regular season already. I can't believe it. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Packers-Vikings doesn't exactly have the feel of a regular season game, doesn't have the feel of a Packers-Vikings rivalry game. It's just basically an exhibition game. I'm going to tell you, I'm probably more excited for this pregame show today than I am maybe the actual game itself, because there's actually some fun stuff I'm excited to talk about as far as roster dynamics, who's going to play in this game, who should and shouldn't play in this game, as well as some things to actually keep an eye on, because we know the score in this one, the result doesn't matter at all. Injuries are what matter. And more importantly, not more importantly, I guess the most important thing is injuries, but also just kind of keeping an eye on some young players who are going to get an opportunity for the first time. So I'm actually excited to kind of break down some things that you'll want to keep an eye on in what, again, basically amounts to an exhibition game for Green Bay and Minnesota. Before we jump into everything, shout out to Alex Fry for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate you a ton, Alex. If you haven't checked out memberships yet, make sure to do so. Should have a great pregame next week, or at least preview next week with Aaron Nagler for members only. Ross Uglum stuff from time to time, as well as members only Q&A. So check those out when you have a chance. Also make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those 5-star reviews. It helps the channel a ton. So be a buddy and do those things when you have a chance. On Saturday, Seahawks did in fact clinch the one seed over San Francisco. A pretty improbable just sort of result for Seattle on the season. I don't think many people had them on the top of their list for number one overall seed in the NFC. Their defense is beyond legit. And seeing San Fran go through now a really crappy Bears defense and then go against Seattle was just what a night and day difference. That defense is legit. And Sam Darnold has done a really nice job in, he resurrected his career in Minnesota and then sort of had the same Sam Darnold end to the year that you would kind of expect, and then sort of re-resurrected it again now in Seattle. He's had a phenomenal season. He deserves a ton of credit. And they're a really tough team. And now we know that Green Bay, if they beat either Chicago or Philly in the wild card round, would go for sure to Seattle in the divisional round and try to exercise some demons from what's happened in Seattle in the past. And like I said, that's a very difficult defense to play against, but that would be their path in a very tough place to play in Seattle as well. Again, Seahawks clinch that number one overall seed. Meanwhile, the Bucs beat the Panthers. Not a ton that's decided there, not a ton that affects the Packers either. The odds that the 7-seed Packers would ever face the 4-seed Panthers or Bucs, whoever it ends up being, is just insanely slim. I mean, you're talking about both the Packers and either the Bucs or Panthers winning both of their games to get to an NFC championship game together to face each other. Again, very, very slim odds. So it probably doesn't matter all that much. But that game is actually, or who actually gets in, is going to come down to the Falcons and Saints game. If the Falcons win, in that case, the Buccaneers get in. The Buccaneers get in, yes. And if the Saints win, then the Panthers get in. So an interesting dynamic there with the Panthers and Bucks. So keep an eye on that one if you're interested in who gets the 4-seed. But Bucks beat the Panthers on Saturday. As I mentioned, the Packers' pathway to a Super Bowl, we know it's either going to be Chicago or Philly in the wild card round, followed by Seattle in the divisional round, coming off a bye if, Green Bay does get to that point. And then in the conference championship game, if they would get through those first two, it would either be the Rams, the 49ers, the Eagles, or the Bears in all likelihood. Theoretically could be the NFC South winner as well. So tougher to tell who they'd face in the conference championship, but only two options for the wild card, the Bears or the Eagles. And the only team that they could face in the divisional round, again, would be the Seattle Seahawks. Meanwhile, Ed Policy taking over the Mark Murphy column and posting on Packers.com. Does not seem like a team president who's ready to fire his GM or fire his head coach. He said, quote, "Adversity is the norm in the National Football League, and I am extremely proud of how our team has handled many challenges. Last season, we struggled within our division, and this year we improved to 4-1. We've persevered through a litany of injuries and a very challenging schedule and placed ourselves in a position to compete for our ultimate goal, a Super Bowl championship." Now, just as I did not read anything into Ed Policy not extending the contracts, because to me, that was always probably something that was going to happen this offseason anyway. I don't read a ton into this either. It does not sound like he's ready to, to nuke the front office or the coaching staff or anything like that. I still wholeheartedly believe that Goody and Matt are not going anywhere and will be your GM and head coach next year. I believe deservedly so and rightfully so. It ultimately doesn't mean a ton, though. And he said, kind of at the end of this, our ultimate goal, a Super Bowl championship. And if they lose in the first round, well, they fell far short of that goal. Again, I fully expect Goody and Matt back. But again, this does not sound like a team president who is super upset at the moment. And those were his opening comments as well. So just something to note there. Read into it if you will. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But it does seem like he's not super dissatisfied at the moment. Let's just put it that way. Meanwhile, Green Bay made 6 more roster moves. This is insane. Let's just say what it is. It is absurd, insane. I've never seen anything like this for a team that is going into the postseason to churn this much of their roster in the final week of the season. I think Zach Cruz posted something of like over 10% of their roster has been placed on IR this week. This week. I've never seen it. This happens at the end of the season where if you're a team that's out of the playoffs, you start putting some experienced guys on IR and bringing some guys in the practice squad up to get a look at them or to protect them from other teams or to poach players from other teams to start putting them on your roster as you start building your 90-man offseason roster and things like that. Not for a team that's going to be playing either the Bears and the Eagles a week from now in the wildcard game. This team has just been decimated by injuries. And in order to cover for those injuries and have enough guys ready to play in this game, they've just had to completely make over their practice squad, their active roster, put a bunch of guys on IR. And on Saturday, 6 more moves, Donovan Jennings and Savion Williams. We talked about this the other day. I think it was on the happy hour chat, but hey, if these guys couldn't get healthy, there's a real world in which you place them on IR. I thought Brant Banks would maybe be the player they called up for Jennings. I didn't know which wide receiver that they would go with, but Jennings goes on IR, Savion Williams goes on IR. That will end their season effectively. So I guess theoretically, if they made it to the Super Bowl, you could call back up a Donovan Jennings or a Savion Williams. Let's just say we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Jacoby Keeney-James is the wide receiver that they brought up for Savion Williams and put him on the 53-man roster. And then Lasitas Smith was the offensive lineman that they brought up and put on the 53. So both of those are now 53-man active roster players. And then Drake Dabney and Jamin Johnson were the two players that they elevated from the practice squad to the active roster. So that kind of puts Green Bay's roster a little bit more clear, I should say. And it gives them, going into this game, 55 players. So they're going to have to deactivate 7 players, they're going to have to deactivate 7, although I think they're going to play a lot fewer than that, meaning I think they'll probably actually be deactivating like 8, 9, 10, 11 players that don't play in this game, but they'll actually not dress at least 7 of them. All of these moves make sense, and it should be noted that Desmond Ridder was not called up either to the 53 or just elevated on game day. So Desmond Ridder is not eligible to play in this game, not as an emergency quarterback, not as anything. He's out for this game. Bill Huber did report that Jordan Love will be the backup quarterback in this game. And so that means that Malik Willis, in all likelihood, was not ready to play, which will be worth monitoring next week. Hopefully Willis will be able to go as the backup. Hopefully they don't need the backup in that game, but that'll be worth monitoring next week. But I guess one other thing to slightly keep an eye on here is if Malik Willis gets the emergency third quarterback designation. But if he can do that, I think you just have him be the backup. So my guess is he's fully inactive in this game. And you might be wondering, well, why don't you bring up Desmond Ridder then? You don't want Jordan Love playing in this game that you clearly don't care about. Well, first of all, Lasitas Smith, my guess is he has a really good chance of probably starting on the offensive line. We'll look at that in just a moment. And Jacoby Keeney-James, unless you want to play a bunch of Dobbs or Jayden Reed or Christian Watson, which I doubt they do, you're limited at wide receivers. Dontayvion Wicks likely out in this game. He's doubtful going into it with his injury designation with a concussion. And so you're down to Matthew Golden and Bo Melton as your wide receivers, unless you want to play your starters. So my guess is Jacoby Keeney-James plays a ton in this game. Drake Dabney, you probably needed the third tight end. That's one where I could have looked at it and said, maybe you just keep the two tight ends active for this game and then, you know, add Desmond Ridder and then you don't have to have Jordan active at all. But if you want to protect Musgrave, and I don't know how much you want to do that or don't want to do that, but if you don't want to play him a ton, you need to go probably Wiley and Dabney a ton in this game. And I would expect Dabney gets a bunch of playing time, especially on teams. And Jamin Johnson, unless you want to play, you know, Edgerrin Cooper or Quay Walker, you only had two linebackers. This is your third. He's going to play a ton on teams and probably fills that number three linebacker role. So all of those guys were needed. And if I had to guess, they're just going to hope that Clayton Tune gets through this game by any means necessary. And if he doesn't and Jordan actually needs to go in, it's going to be handoff fest. You're going to see run after run after run after run. I don't think Jordan's going to have much autonomy at the line to check out of those plays. They're not going to want to put him in harm's way against that Minnesota defense. You would see a ton of handoffs in that situation and probably some really, I don't want to know if I want to say dishonorable football, but definitely not trying to win in that scenario, which they're of course not trying to win anyway with this sort of lineup, but you get my point. It'd be pretty hilarious if they're down like 30 to 23 or something, or down by 7 points and they don't let Jordan Love throw and only hand off if it gets to that point. But these are weird times. It's weird scenarios. These are how these things can play out sometimes. And so I think that's why they went with Jordan as the backup, knowing that if worst case scenario comes to fruition, they can just have him hand off. And in the meantime, they're going to do everything they can to get Clayton Tune throughout this game or through this game. And then they needed those other guys to be able to rest players who would have actually had to have played if they didn't call those guys up. So I think it ultimately does make sense. And it's just unfortunate Malik Willis wasn't available to be the backup, which, you know, basically makes it so that Jordan has to be the backup in this game. All right, that brings us to our injury report presented by Habish Habish Rotier. Doubtful is Dontavian Wicks. Questionable are Zach Tom and Malik Willis. Just basically expect none of them to play. There's no way they're going to put Zach Tom out there unless they just really want to get him like a series just to knock rust off. Like if he's good to go and they really just want, again, one series or something. But I would be very surprised even at that. If Malik Willis was good to go, he'd be active. And I can't imagine they're going to rush Dontavian Wicks back from a concussion when he's doubtful in this scenario. So just expect all three of those players are not going to play. There are a couple of other injury designations, but two of them were now placed on IR. The other two are not on the active roster. So we don't need to go through those. Those are your three injuries to kind of be aware of. I would expect very much that all three are inactive for this game. That brings us also to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch. I could have gone in a variety of directions, but in a moment, we're going to be going over all the unique sort of storyline / young players to keep an eye on and things like that. So I decided to keep this one specifically for trying to win the game. Like if Green Bay has any hope or desire to actually try to find a through line to win this game, it has to be Clayton Tune. Like Clayton Tune is going to have to find a way to establish something in this game as a passing quarterback and not just handing the ball off to get this team any sort of chance to win. I don't think that's really realistic if I'm being honest, but if you're looking for some way, maybe you ended up putting money on Green Bay for some reason. If you're looking for that, Clayton Tune is your player to watch in this one. And so that to me is, as we're looking at this from a win-loss standpoint and not anything else, if you're looking for that, Clayton Tune has to be the player to keep an eye on, just because if he is really, 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 really bad, it's dead on arrival, which again, I kind of expect it to be anyway, but we might be talking closer to shutout than competitive game here. We'll have to see, but he's your player to keep an eye on to hopefully keep this thing competitive for as long as humanly possible. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. All right, so let's go position by position. And what I want to do, this is not going to be our normal breakdown of, you know, keys to the game or things like that. Take the keys and just chuck them out the window. They don't matter whatsoever. The car doesn't work anymore at this point. We're just trying to get to as far as we can throughout this game without any more damage done to the vehicle. Let's put it that way. So we're going to go through and kind of label the decisions that Green Bay has to make and then players that you're going to want to keep an extra eye on. So at quarterback, you've got Clayton Tune, Jordan Love, and then possibly a Malik Willis emergency quarterback situation. I expect Malik to be completely inactive. Jordan Love's the backup again. If he comes in, it's handoff fest. And Clayton Tune, as we mentioned, is kind of the player to watch here. And I'll just say this. Malik Willis is gone in free agency in come March. So you've got a couple months left of Malik Willis. And then he's going to go somewhere to try to earn a starting quarterback job somewhere. Jordan's obviously the starter. And again, you're hoping that he doesn't have to touch the field in this game. With Clayton Tune, this is his audition to see if he has any chance to compete for a backup job next year. If he looks awful in this game, that probably ends the Clayton Tune experience in Green Bay. Maybe they bring him back for now, but you're going to be looking for alternatives in the draft, in undrafted free agency, in free agency, etc. But if he goes out and plays really well against a, you know, Brian Flores defense, you're going to start thinking of, all right, maybe Clayton Tune can legitimately compete for that backup job. And maybe we don't have to spend a draft pick. Maybe we don't have to spend a $5 to $6 million contract in free agency. Maybe we can get Tune and maybe just a seventh round pick or an undrafted free agent or a veteran that is a journeyman or, you know, whatever. You get the point where it's more of a competitive between Tune and somebody else. Again, if he plays as poor as I think this might go, and not just due to him, but I think you could be looking at the end of the Clayton Tune era in Green Bay. So he's the one to watch at quarterback, obviously. At running back, you only have Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, and Josh Jacobs. That's it. My question here is, do they give Josh Jacobs anything in this game? If it's me, I do not. Josh Jacobs is dressed in this game for me, but he would not play at all. He is emergency third running back only if both Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks both go down with injuries. If one of them goes down, I'm putting in the other one in every single play. They might play 50 snaps at running back. I don't care. I'm not putting Josh Jacobs in that game. But I'm going to keep him active, and I'm going to only, again, put him in if Wilson and Brooks get hurt. This is going to be a heavy Wilson and Brooks game. What I'll just say up front is I'll be interested to see if they start with any semblance of a starting lineup. Again, there's only 7 inactives in this game. So do they start with something like Tune, Jacobs, Dobbs, Reed, Watson, Rashid Walker at left tackle, you know, Sean Ryan's in there, Aaron Banks, Anthony Belton, Jordan Morgan, and then, you know, same thing on defense, right? Do they start with like basically a starting lineup without Jordan and then just have them play for, you know, a series or two and then get all the backups in? Or do they just get all the backups in right away? I'm expecting backup fest right away. So I'm expecting this is going to be Wilson and Brooks and Jacobs never gets on the field. But I'm going to see and be interested to see if they get Jacobs any carries in this game. If it's me, I do not expect them to either. At wide receiver, again, conversation is, do Watson, Dobbs, or Reed get any playing time? If it's me, they do not. However, this is where these things get complicated. The three wide receivers that I expect to get a just crap ton of playing time in this game are Matthew Golden, who I expect to play pretty much every snap, Bo Melton, who you kind of have to figure out, do you want him at corner or do you want him at receiver? I think based on the depth chart of both, I think you actually want him at receiver in this game, which is kind of a bummer because I wanted to see him more at corner. But again, unless you want to play Dobbs, Watson, or Reed, you're down to Golden, Melton, and Kenny James. That's it. So Melton, Golden, and Kenny James are the three that I expect to see a ton of playing time. Wick's going to be inactive due to the concussion. So Dobbs, Watson, Reed, at least one, if not two, or maybe even three of those guys probably need to be active. I probably deactivate Christian Watson. We saw week 18 last year. We're not doing that again. Christian Watson's not playing in this game. And I am putting Jaden Reed and Romeo Dobbs on ice. They are only also break glass in case of emergency players. Now that makes it really tough because it only gives you 3 wideouts, which is again why I expect Bo Melton to have to be a full-time wideout in this game. and we'll see if they can make it through. I would expect a lot of two tight end sets. I think you're going to get a lot of Wiley, Dabney, Musgrave at tight end and two tight end sets within Melton, Keeney, James, and Golden at wide receiver, some two and three wideout sets. And then again, Wilson and Brooks at running back. That's my expectation for your weapons in this game. But because you only have three wide receivers that you probably want to play, some form of Dobbs, Watson, and Reed are going to have to be active for this game because you can't go down to two wide receivers. And if two get hurt, you can't go down to one. So they're going to have to dress, but I'll be interested to see if they get any playing time at all or if they really just try to stick with Golden, Melton, and Keeney James. And my guess is they really try to stick with Golden, Melton, and Keeney James. We do get our introduction to Keeney James. If you're not familiar, he's a 4-3 guy. He's really talented. I'm also interested to see if he gets any time as a kick returner, punt returner to give him a shot there. I say, why not? Let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can add a spark to either of those units. And then as far as Matthew Golden goes, we can kind of get to see what he does in a full, 50, 60 snap game for him. And, I don't know that we need to see Bo Melton as a 50, 60 snap wide receiver. It's more interesting if he gets some time at corner, but I expect to see a ton of time at wide receiver for him. So intro to Keeney James and a full complement of Matthew Golden, the things to watch in this game. And should be noted, Clayton Tune and Matthew Golden have that connection from back in their days in Houston. So maybe that's something that can get going a little bit in this game. We talked briefly about tight end. Musgrave, Wiley, Dabney are going to be your three. Do they need to protect or want to protect Musgrave and just go with Wiley or Dabney? Or do they actually play? My guess is Musgrave plays a little bit in this game, but we're going to see lots of Josh Wiley and lots of Drake Dabney as well. Not much to keep an eye on, although Wiley's been a little bit interesting at tight end. If you're looking to keep an eye on a tight end, Wiley's probably the one I'm keeping an eye on in this game. Offensive line, as we mentioned, do you want to play Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, or Sean Ryan in this game, or just put them to the side? Either way, those three are going to have to be backups. You have to have a big group of backup offensive linemen. That's what makes it tough, again, is I'm sure they just love to not play Walker, Banks, Ryan, or their starting offensive line and just not dress them at all. But you only have Morgan, Lasita Smith, Jacob Monk, Anthony Belton, and Darian Kennard, and then you get to those three guys. So I'll, again, be interested to see if they want to play those three at all, get Rashid Walker some time, etc. Other things to keep an eye on here, where's Jordan Morgan play? He's been playing great at right tackle, but Zach Tom likely going to be coming back for that wildcard game. So do you want to get him finally some time at left tackle? Or since he's settling in and playing well, do you just want to keep him at right tackle? That's going to be interesting to me. We'll get a little bit of an introduction to Lasita Smith. We'll likely get a full-time game of Jacob Monk. Of course, Belton and Morgan are also worth watching here as well, just in general. But this is going to be a young, fairly inexperienced offensive line. Again, unless they decide to play Walker, Banks, or Ryan, or any combo of those, which would put less players on the field. But I'll be interested to see how they line up. If it's me, I'm going Jordan Morgan at left tackle, Lasita Smith at left guard, Jacob Monk at center, Anthony Belton at right guard, and Darian Kennard at right tackle. On the interior defensive line, you do have Warren Brinson, Jonathan Ford, Nasir Stackhouse, Carl Brooks, and Colby Wooden. My guess is Brooks and Wooden are active, but I would be willing to suspect that we get a ton of Warren Brinson, Jonathan Ford, and Nasir Stackhouse in this game. It is our reintroduction to Jonathan Ford. We'll see what Brinson can do with more of a complement of snaps. And then Stackhouse, who's been out for a while as an inactive, will sort of get reintroduced as well. We'll see if any of those players can do anything. Most interested in watching Jonathan Ford and his return to Green Bay. Defensive end might be the most fun, second most fun position to keep an eye on in this one. We'll go over most fun in just a moment. But you're probably going to see a lot of Brenton Cox, Baron Sorrell, Aaron Mosby, and Colin Oliver. Our introduction to Colin Oliver, which is exciting. Let's see what he can bring to the table. But a lot of snaps for Baron Sorrell, fourth round pick we haven't seen a ton of so far. We'll see Aaron Mosby a little bit at defensive end. Brenton Cox should get more integrated as well. I'll be interested to see if they have any desire in playing any of Rashawn Gary, Kingsley Nagbare, or LVN. I would sit LVN. He's been battling that foot injury. No reason to play him whatsoever. So he would be one of the inactives for me. And then I would guess that, at least Nagbare is active. I don't know what they want to do with Gary. I mean, Gary's been the one that's been the number three defensive end. So he'd be, I guess, more likely to be active. That one's interesting. But either way, Cox, Sorrell, Mosby, and Oliver going to get the vast majority of the playing time you would expect. Again, keep an extra eye on Colin Oliver and Baron Sorrell. Linebacker, a little bit interesting. I would assume Isaiah McDuffie is going to get your full you know, complement of snaps as your Mike linebacker, green dot on the helmet, et cetera. And then Tyron Hopper will get a big time opportunity as that number two linebacker in this game. And then Jamin Johnson called up, likely your number three. Again, I'll be interested to see if they want to play Quay or Cooper at all, or if they just shut them down. My guess is I would bet they'd love to just shut down Cooper and Quay and not play them, but they're going to, at least one of them is going to have to be active to back up just in case things happen, but expect a ton of McDuffie, Hopper and Johnson, and Hopper and Johnson, two young players that were sort of getting a first glimpse, at least first glimpse really, of Jamin Johnson on defense. Hopper, we've seen a little bit, but we should see 50, 60, 70 snaps of Hopper in this game, which will be fun to kind of keep an eye on and see how he does. We'll be right back. Corner's probably most interesting to me. We do get our introduction to the newest Green Bay Packer. Well, that's not even true with all the transactions they've had, but the newest big acquisition, Trayvon Diggs. I would assume he plays in this game. We don't know for sure. He probably, if I knew 1,000,000% for sure he was going to play and play a lot, I probably would have put him as my Luigi's Pizza player to watch. But either way, this is probably the most fun player to watch in this game, if assuming he plays. And I think he will. I think they're going to want to get him integrated into this team and Jeff Hafley's defense. And he'll be a very fun player to keep an eye on. Probably the one, him and Colin Oliver, probably the two that you want to keep an eye on the most. What can they bring to this team, if anything? Those will be the two big ones. I assume they're going to play Carrington Valentine a ton. He has been really rough as of late. I think they're going to want to get him the reps. I don't think if all of a sudden Carrington Valentine gets hurt, they were trying to bench him anyway. So I still expect to see a lot of Carrington Valentine. Shamar Bartholomew and Jalen Simpson, I think, are going to get some time at corner. We'll see if Bo Melton gets any time there. And then if Keyshawn Nixon is active or not, we'll have to wait and see as well. I would expect we don't see a ton of Nixon in this game, though. Safety, probably a combo of Ketanu Adapo and Jonathan Baldwin as your two starting safeties. Jalen Simpson can play some safety as well, so maybe he gets some time there. And then again, the question is, do you want to give anything to Bullard Williams or X? I would deactivate X. I kind of deactivate Evan Williams as well, and just keep Javon Bullard as my backup. Williams has had that injury issue as of late. I would probably shut him down for this game, but if at all possible, your goal is probably to just play Oladapo and Baldwin, and if need be, then Jalen Simpson at safety, and just keep Bullard, Williams, and X out of this game entirely. So if you're keeping track at home, the players that you do want to kind of keep an extra eye on in this game, Clayton Tune at quarterback, Matthew Golden and Jacoby Keeney-James at wide receiver. Does Jordan Morgan play left tackle? Him and Belton, probably the two to keep an eye on the offensive line. Jonathan Ford at defensive tackle. Colin Oliver at defensive end. Tyron Hopper and Jamin Johnson at linebacker. Trayvon Diggs at corner. If Jalen Simpson or Shamar Bartholomew get any time at corner defensive back, what do they look like? And then Ketanu Adapo and Jonathan Baldwin likely getting a ton of time at safety. That's sort of your group of young or new players that we have not got a ton of playing time to see in Green Bay, or are playing for their first time in Green Bay in the case of Trayvon Diggs. And those are the ones to kind of keep an extra eye on this game. And I think there's a lot that's kind of fun there. Again, can Clayton Tune get involved with the number two, you know, quarterback position going into next year? Does Matthew Golden, with a full, you know, complement of snaps and that familiarity with Clayton Tune, maybe take off this week? Jacoby Keeney-James introduction. Again, Morgan at left tackle would be really fun to watch. I hope we get a little bit of that. Jonathan Ford's reintroduction to the team. Colin Oliver playing for the first time. Tyron Hopper, his first real opportunity to start and play a ton of snaps. Jamin Johnson's first snaps on defense. Trayvon Diggs' first time with the team. Jalen Simpson, Shamar Bartholomew, Jonathan Baldwin, first snaps with the team. Ketanu Adapo getting a chance to start, first time since I think it was Chicago last year where he played a ton of snaps. So there is a lot of stuff that's fun to keep an eye on, and hopefully that'll get you through this game that, in my opinion, is going to be ugly, 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 and is not going to be very much fun to watch. I hope I'm wrong. Hopefully the Packers can go somehow into Minnesota and pick up a win, but I don't see that happening. By the way, a win for Minnesota knocks them down the draft board as well. The loss and win doesn't do anything for Green Bay. So consolation prize is you're bumping Minnesota down the draft board while you're picking up a loss that doesn't mean anything for you. Vikings are now 10.5-point favorites, which I actually think seems complimentary towards Green Bay based on how they're going about this game. I've got Vikings 27, Packers 6. Either two field goal drives or they'll be down like 24-0, get a late touchdown, and go for two, fail the 2-point conversion, and Vikings cap it off with a field goal at the end. So you pick which one you want, touchdown and a failed 2-point conversion or two field goals. I'll say 27-6 Minnesota. I don't feel great about this game, but just remember, injuries are the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters. You're not going to get anything out of this game one way or the other. If you did win with Clayton Tune and a bunch of backups and those guys go out and beat Minnesota, maybe that gives you a little boost going into next week, but the loss is not going to cause you any issues. This is all about Chicago and or Philly. I guess not and. Chicago or Philly next week. And the only thing that really truly matters in this game is getting out of it as healthy as humanly possible, which has been Green Bay's biggest obstacle all season long. The only other thing to really kind of keep an eye on Sunday is, of course, the Bears game and the Eagles game. That determines who Green Bay will ultimately face next week. Pretty simple. If the Bears win, Green Bay goes to Chicago, faces Chicago. If the Bears lose and the Eagles lose, Green Bay still goes to Chicago. And if the Bears lose and the Eagles win, then Green Bay would go to Philly. However, both of the things that you would need to happen to face Philly, which I don't think anyone's really hoping for anyway, but are underdogs, meaning the Bears are 3.5-point favorites against the Lions, and the Eagles, despite sitting their starters in this game, are 4.5-point favorites over Washington. So you would need two upsets, the Bears to lose to the Lions and the Eagles to lose to the Commanders in order for Green Bay to go to Philly. All signs continue to point for Green Bay to go to Chicago next week in a fairly epic wildcard game. I guess there is one other thing. Aaron Rodgers, Sunday Night Football. Could be his last game in the NFL. You never know. Obviously, if they win, he would play next week, assuming he gets out of this game healthy. They'd play next week in the wildcard round, and his career would continue there. If they lose and he retires in the offseason, actually stays retired, this could be his last game. So something to keep an eye on there in Sunday Night Football. The potential last game of an absolute legend and, of course, one of the greatest players in Packers history. That's what I got for you today. Again, no keys to the game. There are no keys. Just stay as healthy as you possibly can and keep an eye on some of those younger players like Matthew Golden, Jacoby Keeney-James, Colin Oliver, Tyron Hopper, Trayvon Diggs' addition to the team, Jonathan Ford, Gaetano Ladapo, etc. We went through them, but those are the ones to kind of keep an eye on this one. It will be a live pregame show. I'm going to be a very shortened version for this game. So 11:30 a.m., my son has a soccer game right before. So just about a 30-minute live pregame show. If you want to check that out, 11:30 a.m. over on YouTube, bringing us right to kickoff. Halftime will be on the Luigi's Pizza Twitter account, going over any notes from halftime, or the first half of the game. And then following the game, immediately following it, I'll be live doing the postgame show as soon as we are done with that game. So check that out immediately following. And we'll be keeping an eye on, of course, who the Packers will play next week. And then on Monday, I believe Grant Bills and Jacob Westendorf are going to be with me for Monday's show as we start looking ahead to wildcard weekend. I'll see you guys all very, very soon. Enjoy game day. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Vidal, Nemo, Jake Kohner, and Donald Decker. See you guys later today, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.